And I am going to do this. I want to just take a moment right now. If you're here in our Collinsville campus with us live, or if you're watching on our online campus, and this is your very first time being a part of Navigation Church Experience, we are so excited that you're joining us here today. And we just want to welcome you into the family, into our home. Glad that you are here. So we are continuing a conversation of the School of Hard Knocks. And really, this week finishes this conversation. Next week, we're going to be talking about freedom. But we could actually add next week's conversation into the School of Hard Knocks. Because if you've ever had to have freedom in your life, there's a chance you went through a fight to get it. And so, but with it being July 5th next week, it's just going to kind of be an independent thought. No pun intended there, but there it was. Independent thought of, you didn't catch it either. Neither did I till after I said it. It's just going to kind of be a standalone. So we're going to have that amazing conversation. And then after that, we're going to start our summer teaching series. And if you hear the word teaching series, you immediately throw back to school and boring. And I want to encourage you to come out for an eight-week period. We're going to cover eight different books of the New Testament, and I promise you, if you actually follow what we encourage you to do, you will actually know everything there is to know about these eight different books. Who wrote them, why they were written, and what they have to say. Now, you may not have the books memorized, but it'll be amazing tools for you to have. So I'm so excited about starting that the second week of July. But for right now, we're going to kind of continue this conversation on the School of Hard Knocks. And sometimes I ask God, well, not sometimes, I need to correct that. All the time I ask God, okay, what is it I'm supposed to be talking about? What is the conversation that needs to be had here at the church? And God, in weird ways, usually communicates that to me. But this past week or so, I had one of the strangest ways that he told me about it. And it was in the middle of the night while I was asleep. So, by the way, for those watching online, if you're still in your, hey, if you're in your pajamas right now, give me a thumbs up. I want to know you're in your pajamas. Give us a thumbs up. And by the way, wish we were right there with you, but I decided to get dressed because my last pair of pajamas I bought, true story, is a long sleeve nightie that with a Frozen on it. Because I have a baby girl and she loves it, so she wins. So there it is. And I will never tweet a picture of that out, so you won't see it. Yes, I will. Okay. If we get 100 likes on that comment right there, then I will send a picture out. I'll set that bar low. So there it is. Okay, so here's what happened. Middle of the night, I was sleeping, and here's what it looks like when I normally sleep, and I'm going to give you way too much information. I like pillows, or pillows is how I normally pronounce it, but I'm supposed to say it correct today. And I have a pillow in between my knees, two underneath my arm, two underneath my head, but then two behind me. Why two behind me? In case I turn over, I need a replicate system right behind me. So, I sleep with a lot of pillows. If I ever go on a vacation or a trip, you should know that half the trunk is full of my pillows. But the other night, I had the strangest thing, because I try not to sleep on my back, and men, if this is you, just give me an amen, so I don't, you know, you put little Z's, smiley face with Z's online. If you ever sleep on your back, do you snore more often? Okay, good, it's not just me. When I sleep on my back, my wife shows me she knows how to play soccer, because she kicks me, and she tells me to turn onto my side, and so I'm sleeping. Normally, I'm on my side. Well, this night, I woke up on my stomach, with both my arms underneath my pillow, and I woke up going, why am I on my stomach? And then I realized something worse was happening. I couldn't feel either of my arms. Have you ever had an appendage go to sleep on you in the middle of the night? And here's the first thing that happens, it's gone. Like, it is so asleep, it's not even a part of my body anymore. So I'm like, man, I have to turn over. So then I go to try to turn over, and when your arms are this asleep, they don't work for you. So I can't push and I can't move. And I'm actually getting to the point where I'm starting to freak out, thinking, did my arm like slide in between the headboard and a mattress, if I turn over, am I just going to break something? Like, all these things are going through my head, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Why am I even up at 4 o'clock in the morning? I can't feel my arms. I'm freaking out, and I'm this close to waking up my wife, which, by the way, if you do not wake her up with a cup of coffee, well, there will be something to pay. So, like, I don't know what to do, and then all of a sudden, this hand felt this hand. And I'm like, oh, okay, right? And so it's a couple of you are smiling. You've had something like this happen before. So I felt this hand. I was so excited, and I was able to get a grip on it. I'm like, okay, so now I have leverage, and I have all my appendages. I can start moving. By the way, this story is as true as you get. I'm not exaggerating. And I began shifting, and I began moving to where I finally got to my back, and my arms fell to the side. I'm like, okay, they're going to start waking up. Well, they woke up mad too, because they start tingling, and they're fighting with each other. Why did you wake us up? We're all asleep. And I was just freaking out, and I woke up the next morning, finally, after going back to sleep, so annoyed that I woke up in the middle of the night with this horrible experience, just to wake up to have to go to a store. And by the way, all this tells you why I'm about to preach a sermon that I have, because I then went to a store, and I went into the store, and when I walked in, they didn't say, hi, welcome, good to have you. First comment was, you got a face mask? I'm like, what happened to public decency? We don't even say welcome to the store, glad to have you, good to see you. It's immediately get a face mask or get out. We are allowed to just be rude now. And so now I'm tired of Corona, because then I get a message about my kids and what they have to do to go back to school, and everyone else, there's a resurgence here, and I'm watching all this happening with Corona. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely horrible. And I'm just, can I just tell you, I was very negative towards it. I was negative towards sleep, and I was negative towards Corona. And then I turned on the news, bad idea. Why? Because that's only going to breed to the negativity, right? And so now I'm negative about the news, and I'm going to watch this people group, their sister people group, and the elephant versus the donkeys, and you use whatever name you want there. And I'm like, okay, like, it's their fault, and it's their fault. No, it's the Illuminati's fault. Oh, I'm a conspiracy theory now, right? I'm going down this road, and I'm freaking out about this. And then all of a sudden, I'm starting to think about, oh, my finances, and my relationships, and my person, and it's negative, and it's negative, and negative. And all of a sudden, this Proverbs jumped in my head. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And I thought, is this the thing that I want inside of me? Is this negativity the thing inside of me? Because I wrote this down. Here's a thought. Ready for this? The raw materials of your thoughts will be the building materials of your life. The raw thoughts that you have, the imaginations that you build, the beliefs that you allow to develop, those are the things that are going to sit up there that eventually will come out of you, and you will take those thoughts and you'll build it in the world around you. And do I really want to live with me just being negative, 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 mad, 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 annoyed, annoyed, annoyed? And I'll be honest with you, and this isn't just because of the job I do, I don't want that. I look at negative and put out people, and their life seems miserable. But I look at people who are healthy and positive, and I go, I think that's the life I want. So the quality of your life will never exceed the quality of your thoughts. And so, by the way, if you've ever been a part of a life coach, if you've ever had a mentor in your life, if you've ever had someone try to disciple you and tutor you, there's sometimes where they do this. They do imagination breaks. They do dream sessions. They do brainstorming. And here's what you do. You just put out in front of you what it is you would like to create. And until you get it out there, you can never build towards it. And I'll tell you now, if the only thing you say is, I want a bankrupt lifestyle, I guarantee you can build towards that. If all your thoughts are, I'm a loser and life is against me and the quality of this life is horrible, guess what? The only life that you will eventually build around you are those type of things. And so, because you can't have negative thoughts with positive outcomes. And so this is when I really got annoyed. When I opened up this book that I read all the time called the Bible. Because if you've ever get in the Bible and it doesn't annoy you, you aren't reading it right. It's meant to rub on you sometimes. It's meant to challenge your negative thoughts. It's meant to have you question things. And here's what I ended up reading. It's out of James chapter 1, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. Ready for this? It said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kind. You consider it pure joy. Right? And that, like, what do you mean, consider it pure joy? Brothers and sisters, when you're going through it, this is so exciting, and you should be happy about it. If James was alive today, I'd punch him. Can I get an amen from anyone? Like, you read that. Tell me you don't read that right now. When I run through all the stuff that I did, sleeping habit, your finances, your relationships, your person right now, what you see in the world, and you have someone go, you should be finding joy in this. Doesn't part of you just go, someone should have edited that part out? I'm not saying God's wrong, but he's poor at proofing. Like, how is this in there? So here's what I do, and you may want to pick up this habit. If you read something about the Bible and it grates on you or you don't get it, read it again. Because it has something for you. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to kind of start breaking this down. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any time. So consider it. Let's just look at this. Here's what I'm going to say. Consider it. Would you be willing to take a step back to possibly look at this situation from a different perspective? Could you just consider it? Is there a possibility that your vantage point, that your viewpoint, that your angle, that you're looking at it, isn't the only one out there? Would you be willing, what is that phrase? You lose the forest through the trees? Or no, you lose the forest through the trees. I want to be a woodsman. Okay, so if you're online right now, I know you know that, and people just yelling at me isn't working. I feel like I'm back at school, so just type it right now in the little chat about your trees and forests. So, okay, so consider that you're losing the trees through the forest, okay? So, and then by the way, pure joy. And I thought about that word, pure joy. Actually, joy is different than happiness. And if you're married, ready for this, if you're in a long-term committed relationship of any time, there's a lot different between joy in that relationship and always being happy with that relationship. Amen. 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 Thank you. I needed, and by the way, on those types, I'm expecting the guys to help me out on that. But women, if you want to shout it too, because guess what? There are times in a relationship that you're not always happy with that person, but that doesn't change that I have a joy that I'm with that person. And so always having to have my butterfly feelings of everything in the world is perfect, that is different. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at this different, and maybe in looking at this different, I don't necessarily have to feel good about it. Right? I don't have to feel happy because there could be joy in it. And so whenever you face, and by the way, at this point, yes, I'm just breaking this scripture down line by line, phrase by phrase, because I think we're going to be able to unpack something powerful here. Whenever you're faced, not if, but I wish he would have put the if you were faced, but he didn't. So here's an FYI for everyone. Make this note down. When your relationship goes through problems, when your finances go through problems, when you yourself go through problems, when that happens, you're going to be faced with it. And it's faced with it, if you look at the way that it was actually written in its original text, it would almost be as if a robber showed up to rob you and it caught you off guard. How many have ever had pivotal moments in their life? I still didn't get that word right, and I heard it, so we're just moving on. Those moments in your life that you never saw coming, that you had to pivot on a dime. And those worst moments and those hardest moments, can you consider that you can find joy in it? And this is where, how could you possibly say that about a situation, James, that you are completely unaware of? Do you even know? We thought it's like 2020 said, I'm going to take the bubonic plague and I'm going to one-up it with Corona. And if you thought Watergate was bad, wait till you see what I can do to those politics. And by the way, in all of this craziness, the civil rights movement is going to happen all over again. And if things couldn't even get worse, I'm going to send a dust bowl like out of Mummy Returns to come across the ocean to be the next dust bowl that comes across the United States. It's almost like 2020 said, here, hold my hand sanitizer. I'll show you what's up. Like, James, you are under a little persecution. Do you know the financial things that we're going through? Do you understand what it is we're facing right now? And then he goes on to say this. He goes, consider pure joy when verse 3 says, because you know the testing of your faith produces what? Something. Hang on. Because you know if you take a long enough pause, take a step back to consider it, It may be a little something. You know this to be true. You know your God, you know your faith, you know your belief system. Because you know something, the testing of your faith. What is testing of anything to do? Testing produces and determines the authenticity of something. If we just say, I have great faith in God. Well, you may have great faith in God, but when's the last time it's been tested? When's the last time it went through something? Trials expose the authenticity of our faith. And by the way, the faith here that we're talking about is our confidence in God. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to restate it. I'm going to rewrite this scripture in just a little different way. See if this makes sense. Trials expose the authenticity of our confidence in God. Trials, when you face trials, you will discover something about your faith. What about your faith? What you believe, what you really believe, and what you were pretending to believe. Because God, you are good. Till my wife got cancer. I don't even know if you're real. I don't know if you exist. God, you're real until this girlfriend that I had broke up with me and you don't love me enough to give me this thing that I really think I need for the rest of my life. God, there is no God. I look on and I see riots and I see COVID and I see dust bowls. God, can you even help America in this time when Democrats and Republicans are fighting and no one's getting along and we're about ready to have, the Great Depression, I didn't even think about that. We're about to hit another recession. 2020 just keeps coming to kick you in the teeth. So what do I believe? What is it that I really believe and what is I pretend to believe? So you ready? I'm going to rewrite this again for you. Let's see if we can add to it. When a trial hits and when normal life all around you begins deteriorating, the fake, the supernatural, the artificial, the counterfeit faiths also start deteriorating to reveal what is authentic about your faith. Could you consider that? Could you take a step back to say, possibly this is what this thing is doing in my life right now? And everything that was fake about my faith, God's willing to allow this circumstance to begin shaving it off. James is not saying that you will find joy in this, but if you view it from the vantage point that my faith is being authenticated, there is joy found in that expression. And there's other things that happen through a trial. Is you learn things about yourself, you learn things about your spouse, you learn things about your kids, you learn things about your company, you learn things about your money, you learn things about your relationship that you would never learn if you didn't go through this thing. You would never learn about your wife and how, I keep saying wife, by the way, I'm married to a girl, so women, I'll help you out here. You'll never learn about your husband, that he could have actually been this for the family if the family wouldn't have gone through this. Of course, the flip side of it, you also find out who he was or who she was when it all begins deteriorating, right? And there's aspects of who God is. How many of you, and I, if you're online, I just need you to say amen now. If you're here and want to say amen or raise your hand, how many have ever gone through a sickness before and you went, I found out a new level of God because of the sickness that I went through or that my friend went through? How many of you lost a loved one and in that losing process, you found that comforter, that Holy Spirit comforter in a way that you've never have before? How many have had a trouble with your finances before? You lost a job and you found God to be your provision in a way that you never have before. You do not learn about the different facets of who God is by always staying in the same perspective of what God does. And sometimes the trial makes you consider that and view it from a different vantage point. So let's restate this a final time. When trials hit, you will discover something about you, your faith, your God. If you step back for one moment and consider what you are going through, get a new perspective on what that deteriorating situation is all about, there is joy in that discovery to find out what is actually authentic. Because your faith produces perseverance. The test, it's real. It's obvious in front of you. It produces perseverance. Do you know the way that I've always, by the way, this is not original content right here, right now. Ready for this? Faith is a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. So guess what? Sometimes God thinks putting us in a gym to test our faith muscle is a very positive thing. And so if you stay in the gym underneath the pressure and allow, I have no idea why I'm doing curls right now. I've felt it. If you're around me long enough, I use a bad mimicry to try to like describe things. I'd be great at Pictionary. Not Pictionary. What? Charades. I knew you guys would help me out on that. I'd beat you in charades. Unless you're on my team, then I'd be, thank you. Okay, we're joining a team back there. So here's the thing. Faith, when it comes to this muscle, the only way this muscle gets worked is if weight gets put on it. And so you have to learn that you have this faith muscle. So let perseverance finish its work so you can become mature and complete, lacking nothing. So in the middle of the trial that you're going through, here's what James goes to say. Find joy that God's just put weight on your faith muscle, and you're about to find out if you're strong or weak. Because I know a lot of big boys, big girls that look real strong until you put a lot of weight on them. And all of a sudden you put a lot of weight on them, now you can see what they believe, what they thought they believed, and what they act like they were believing. And things just begin deteriorating and crumbling around them. But James is saying this, stay underneath that weight. Stay in the gym. Let the fix that God fixed to fix you, fix you. But if you try to fix the fix that God fixed to fix you, he'll fix another fix to fix you. I can't say that again. You say that again. Online, rewind that back. Type that out. Sometimes in our life, there's a fix in our life that God's trying to use just to fix us. But if we say this, or you know what? Let me say this. Here's your prayer. And you may want to write this down, which, by the way, if you want a lot of these notes, download our app. A lot of these notes are in there. But should your prayer be this? God, I will let you use this till you choose to remove this. God, I'll let you use this in my life till you choose to remove this out of my life, because something about this, as you put this weight on me, I'm going to choose to give a perspective that maybe, God, that you're in this, and in this, anything that's wrong about my belief with you, anything that's wrong about my thought about you, anything that it's a fake faith, God, could you let that just begin deteriorating all around me, and all those things that deteriorate, leave the authentic, leave the tested, leave the true standing in front of me. And by the way, I'm not going to move until you're completely done. And when you're completely done, I'm going to find a joy. I'm going to find a joy because I know my God in a way that I never knew him before. I'm going to find joy because my faith has been authenticated in a way that it never has before. I'm going to find a joy because I stayed in the gym known as the faith-building gym that allowed the weight to rest on me. And God, when I got done, I learned how to persevere and not back down. And if you could be waking up with numb arms. You could be waking up having to go to a job or in a society faced with COVID-19. You could be waking up with social upheaval in front of you. You could be waking up because of the finances. You could be waking up. Any of these things that are before you, we can do one of two things. We can let the essence of our heart determine what we're building around us, or we can say this, from the essence of who I am, I choose to find joy. I choose to find God in this moment. And so that's the spiritual perspective that I want to give you. Now, in our last couple minutes to give you, I want to give you the practical. Because the three areas that I just kept going back to is financial, relational, and personal. Because right now, I think all three of those areas probably hit all of us. And I know those are general topics, but when it comes to our current last 6 months, or the last 4 to 5 months now of year, like 2020, let's just round it up, 2020. My question is, what have you been doing that has led to your undoing that the current trials have exposed? What have you been doing? What are the habits in your life? What are the routines that you normally do that without knowing it, it was actually leading to your undoing, your unrest, your anxiety, stress, worry, concern, that these last couple months have exposed? Because there's something amazing that can happen in life. You can learn how to juggle life and hide a bunch of things, but when life adjusts, it seems like those juggling balls come crumbling down. So now you're stuck at home, you're stuck in conversations, you're stuck in relationships. So when it comes to financial, here's a question. How are you doing with your finances? And how many of us, and I'm just going to put us all in one big blanket, I'm not going to try to separate, how many of us in our current situation, we were used to living paycheck to paycheck, and the moment that paycheck to paycheck got disrupted, you all of a sudden had major stress, worry, and anxiety in your life, and now you're behind bills. But you've always heard someone like a Dave Ramsey say this, what? Have 3 to 6 months of a reserve account, emergency fund. And you always thought this, man, that sounds good, but it never was inside of you, and since it wasn't inside of you, you haven't built it around you. And so when it comes to your finances, what are you doing right now? What is deteriorating around you that is exposing the authentic belief that you actually have about money? Here's one as a church. I'll slide this on the table. I always gave to the church, but now that times are slim, I don't give to the church. The Red Cross, Goodwill. Name whatever you want to out there. Organization. And I would ask the question, do you believe that God is due a tithe and offering, first fruits and alms? I guess God wouldn't get the alms, but there's just the theology nerd inside of me coming out. But yet, he was given when you had enough, but when you don't have enough, you have to give to other things. I would ask this, who do you view as your provider? When things come crumbling, it reveals what we really believe. And so here's just your little phrase for today. The phrase, I owe causes a lot more stress than to say I want. I owe causes a lot more stress than saying the phrase I want. Because usually what happens is we say I want, so I'll go into debt to now own this thing that I will owe on for a long time. And by the time I get it paid off and I no longer own it, I don't actually even want it. So wouldn't it be better for you to create a brand new habit now in this social period where everyone seems to be pausing to begin developing inside of you that when you see that bright, shiny, new, you know, thing that you just had to have, try saying this phrase, I want you, but I don't want to owe you. I want you, but I don't want you to own me. Because the moment you owe money on it, guess who owns who? Right? Because you're paying to have that paid off by the time you actually even own it. You probably don't want it anymore. So coming up with the phrase, I want it versus I owe it, may be a healthy strategy in order to find out what you really believe about it. And then here's the other thing. My current financial hole is due in part to my lack of self-control. And by the way, this is a general statement. There could be someone that is exempt from that, but in general, your financial hole that you live in, the debt that you have, the stress that's considering it, it is due in part because our lack of self-control. Because when I drive by and I'm hungry, I'm gonna get it, even though it's not in the family budget. When I see something new and shiny and I just think I have to have it now, here's one of the things I do with the kids, and I know you're not going to try this, but you absolutely should try it. Anytime our kids go to any store anywhere, there's always something in that store they have to have. Parents, can I get any type of amen? Amen. So here's what I do with my kids now, and by the way, it works 99% of the time. Tomorrow, if you remember that, I will drive back and get it for you. And here's what happens. Their little bodies, with their little brains and their little short attention span, moves on with life. They see something else shiny and new and nice, and they completely forget about this want that they had in a moment. Desires like that pass. And so here's what the question that you have to act is, what are you willing to start saying, I want, so that you no longer owe, so that your finances can be where you want them, so if or when something like this that we've gone through happens again, you now have those reserve funds where you don't feel the stress of it and the authenticity of a healthy, balanced life is actually being revealed. Relationally, here's another one. So I bring up relationships because right now in our society, a lot of people are just at home. They're trapped with family longer than they have been. When you look at statistics and you see the type of abuse both through relationships and to children, they are on the rise. And it's because people aren't used to being around each other this long. But then you also see that more people have greater amount of time with their thumbs relating with people, and they can make comments that the person on the other side never sees the facial reaction to. You never see the pain. So relationships are in a whole new area right now. And I just have a couple thoughts on it. Number one, relationship problems do not fix themselves. Every marriage out there right now, every long-term relationship, every employer to employee, every family dynamic that's out there, every friendship that seems to be frayed right now, you should know that relationships don't fix themselves. Relationships need to be worked on just like your car does. That was my only example. I was going to say plane. I don't know why, just like your plane does, but if I don't own a plane, and I don't know why you say, like, everything in your life, lawnmower, there it is, lawnmower. There's another thing with an engine. Like, it has to have constant maintenance to be worked on, and if it doesn't, relationships deteriorate. And I would say this, how do you work on them? The first step is own the part of it that's your problem. Because there's actually joy in that relationship. You may not be happy with it right now, but there is joy to be found in that relationship. And the one thing you want to do is walk into a situation and let them know what they did and how they wounded you. But at some point in a relationship, it takes two. So you have to own the part that you play. And the thing you need to also know is if you try to rush back to normal, it will always get worse. The way my wife and I say it is, in our relationship, you can either do one of two things. You can learn how to sidestep each other's landmines, or you can learn how to defuse the bomb. Both of them have inherent dangers in them, and here's why. The moment you start touching a live bomb, it can do what? It goes off. It explodes. There's shrapnel. Right? There's collateral damage that occurs on something like that. But here's the other option. You learn how to maneuver the minefield of your relationship, and you get a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, and you miss one of them. And I apparently watched a lot of war movies, and that's the sound effects that FX gives us, right? So, like, you step on it, and all of a sudden, this very small bomb goes off, and what happens? This relationship, this conversation, this event, all these other things start exploding around you, and you go, why did those all explode? It's because you triggered the minefield of your relationship. And if you just think, oh, I can get past this one and move on, no. I actually think it'll end up being worse because you just have one more thing that you need to sidestep and stay away from before eventually it all goes off. And so you got your finances, you got your relationships, and let's just talk personal. This isn't a question that you and I can just do right now, but it's a question, how are you doing as a person? How are you doing internally? Where's your stress levels? Where's your worries? Where's your anxiety? What's the conversation that you continue to replay in your head? Not necessarily in a defensive or argumentative, but you're just trying to wrap your brain about it. Are you freaking out about the next credit card bill, the next mortgage payment? Are you worried about the next set of holidays? Where are you at as a person? And I will tell you now, this is the prayer that I've lived with for 2020. I can honestly say for 2020. And I asked this question to God. So depending on where you're at, if you were to take a realistic evaluation, would you be willing to say this prayer? God, what are you trying to teach me in this situation? Here's the thing. God does not want you to stay where you're at. God wants you to go to the gym of faith, to have something put inside of you, so that things around you begin stripping off. Those that aren't authentic. Those that won't produce life. Those things that will not produce the faith that he's called you to. What is the faith that he's called you to? The faith that he is God and we are not. That he is creative and he can take something out of nothing and create everything. the faith and understanding that Jesus is our Savior, no matter what's happening in the world around me right now, that I am secured by an anchor behind a veil. And if you're willing to ask those things, it's a real simple prayer. It's simply this: God, what do you want to teach me in this situation? Then I believe that God will take you to the gym of faith and begin allowing that muscle to be worked out. After all, wouldn't it be a shame to have gone through all this pain with no gains? You know, the greatest thing that our faith can do is being introduced to the gym. And so I just want to take 2 minutes to do that to you real quick. This gym was created 2,000 years ago in something called a new covenant. In your Bible, you may read it as the New Testament. And it's because a man named Jesus Christ, who was in heaven with God and the Holy Spirit, stepped out of heaven onto earth as a man. And by the way, you know this day, if you celebrate Christmas, that's what it's all about. But another famous day that we celebrate is one is called Easter. And that's the day that, Good Friday, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's the beginning of the faith that we have now as Christians in the year 2020. But then 3 days later, he proved to everybody exactly what he said he was going to do, and that he was fully God and fully man. He was raised from the dead. And in coming out of that tomb and coming out of that grave, Jesus Christ started something known. You can call it Christianity if you want, but it's a real and living faith and belief in the one true God. And by the way, in order to be a part of that faith, in order to be a part of that gym, in order to be a part of that relationship, it's as simple as believing in him and confessing with your mouth. So if you're sitting here today, if you're watching me online, a part of our online community, I'm just going to ask you a real simple question. Do you have a faith in Jesus Christ? And if not, are you ready to start it today? My sales pitch is never great on this, I'll tell you now. I've heard other people be a lot more eloquent than I am on this. Bad joke, keep going. But here's what I know. Here at Navigation Church, there is a ripe environment for people to come to know Jesus as their Savior just because we tell you about him. And so I'm not going to try to oversell it, not going to try to convince it. Right now in your heart, you know it. Right now in your mind, it's racing. Everything about you feels like this is the authentic thing that I've been searching for years. And if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in just one moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Just one moment, I'm going to ask you to click a button. But if I could, in order for everyone to feel as comfortable as possible, could I just invite everyone to close your eyes? If you want to bow your heads, feel free to do that. If you're watching online or you're sitting here with me, the question is very simple. If you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if today's the day you can feel inside of you this is the authentic thing that you've been longing for, with every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to simply raise your hand. And if you're watching us online right now, there's going to be a tab on some of our platforms that you can just click yes. And other ones, the moderator's just going to, our pastor's going to make a simple statement of, if you receive Jesus today, make sure to like this button. Either way, if it's a thumbs up, if it's a button clicked, or if it's a hand raised, we celebrate with you today making this life-altering decision. So let's all do this together as a church. Say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I am so ready for an authentic relationship with you. And I know that it starts with believing that your son died for me. So today I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. And from this day forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every decision that was made, every hand that went up, every online decision that was made. God, we as a church, we just celebrate with them today. We're so excited about this. And even though, Lord, geographically we may be separate from one another, spiritually we are connected through the true living Son, Jesus Christ. Now I pray, in addition to that, for every person that has been struggling with situations in their life. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's personal. Maybe it's unknown, not knowing what to do with the community and society around us, with COVID, or with social upheaval, or political agendas and views. God, I say this right now. Allow that weight to rest on us. It's such a scary prayer to say, God. But I just allow that weight to rest upon us, and that we will take a moment to take a step back and consider it from a different perspective, that just maybe you want to authenticate our faith in a new and a powerful way. And in coming through that process, God, we will know you in a way that we've never seen you before. We've never known you before. We've never talked to you before. And Lord, that gives me joy. That gives me a hope for the next day. So I just lift up anyone who is hurting right now, anyone who is struggling, anyone who needed to hear this today, may it be a word of encouragement for them to be able to conquer their day tomorrow and dream again. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.